This podcast is brought to you by On Track Studio.
You're listening to Things They Don't Tell Her. Everything you don't get taught about periods, pregnancy, and postpartum. I'm going to take you on a journey back to sex ed and teach you what really matters. Ladies, it's time you felt empowered in your bodies. I'm your host, Caitlin Pender, founder of Her Women's Health, and I'm sharing tips to optimize your fertility, pregnancy, and postpartum journey.
Hello, hello. I just wanted to jump on here and do a live all about C-section scar massage. So hopefully I've got a few mamas who might be interested in learning how they can best support themselves after a cesarean, because this is something that I really believe is one of the not spoken about areas. I find postpartum recovery information is really poor, but especially for my C-section mamas who are often discharged from the hospital with little to no advice on how they should support their recovery and what that looks like from a holistic perspective in terms of supporting their mental health, their emotional health, as well as their physical health, and how they can optimize the little things that they could do to optimize their recovery and how to look after their scar, short term and long term. Often they'll have a check with the GP at 1 week or 6 week to do the baby checks. And then from there, if they're lucky, the GP might look at their scar. They might redress it potentially, or more than likely they'll see their GP or obstetrician at 6 weeks. And then they'll be discharged with the blanket advice that they can slowly return to movement, and that they can get back to their pre-baby lives. And for all of those who have had a cesarean, I'm almost certain that by 6 weeks postpartum that you were not thinking, I'm ready to get back into everything that I was doing beforehand. Most often clients will say that they have no idea where to start, but they certainly don't feel that they could get back into running or get back into the gym. So I really feel that there's a lack of knowledge and education in that immediate first 12 weeks postpartum, and that we need to bridge that gap in order to teach women how to support themselves in that early postpartum period in order to optimize their outcomes when they do, say, return to running or sport, or even just running after their three-year-old toddler. So really important regardless, and I think we underestimate as a society, but also as mothers, how we've just been through major abdominal surgery. So really important to take that time and to understand what it is that we can do to help to optimize recovery. And one thing is cesarean scar massage. So I will start by just going through and explaining all of the layers of tissue that are actually made an incision through during a cesarean section. And it's important to understand this when it comes to rehabilitation and when it comes to breaking up scar tissue so that the layers are not all formed together. So when a cesarean section is performed, the first layer of tissue that they have got some scissors here, hopefully they don't perform it with scissors, but the first layer of tissue that is cut through is obviously the skin, okay? So the skin and the subcutaneous fat, there is usually a incision made transverse, lower abdominal, just sort of closer towards the pubic bone than the navel, and then that is pulled apart. And then this blue layer underneath is the fascia. So there is a thick layer of fascia that overlays. I think of fascia almost like glad wrap, and it overlays our tissue, and it is connecting all sorts of areas of our body. So there is what are called myofascial trains, that run, and they connect like a layer of glad wrap all the muscles up the back of the leg and then across the torso, and they have these really intricate connections that mean that, for example, the lower abdominal area turns into the obliques, for example, they turn into the inside thigh. So pain in the, or tightness fascially in the inner thighs, for example, could occur as a result of that scar tissue that's formed because of this fascial connection. And in Chinese medicine, the foundation of acupuncture is based on our meridian lines. And the meridians in Chinese medicine are very, very almost identical to the myofascial trains that have been identified by scientific studies looking at cadavers. So very interesting to understand this full body connection, that there's these, this layer of what I simplify as glad wrap that connects a lot of the body. So if we have an incision and then scar tissue that forms, it can affect not only the immediate area, but other areas in our body. So that second layer of fascia, again, an incision is made through that fascia, and then the fascia is pulled apart. And then you can see here these two red bands. These are our abdominal sheath. So it's the layer of our abdominal muscles. And in that area, there's not necessarily muscular belly, so there's not the large belly of the muscle, but there's these tendinous sheaths. And tendons are like ropes, like thick guide ropes that attach the muscles onto the bones. So these thick layers of tendinous sheath, which is what's connecting the muscle onto the pelvic bone, cut through and then pulled apart. So often the rectus abdominis muscles, which are our six-pack muscles, which is why we have that linea alba, which is the connective tissue along the middle. And that layer is often pulled apart. So rather than a cut being placed directly through there, it's those muscles that are actually pulled to the side and the tendinous sheath that is essentially affected and cut through. And then underneath that, we've got the peritoneum, which is that surrounding cavity to the uterine wall. And then the amniotic sac, which is where then, once we've reached through, baby can be pulled out. And then each layer can be stitched back together. And often as the woman, we wake up, you know, the next day in recovery, or if we've had most of the time an epidural, we're there and baby is brought to the chest or to the neonatal nurse practitioners to do assessments. And then from there, over the period of time, usually you're transferred to a recovery room and then eventually to your hospital room, where over time, usually that day or the next day, they'll try and mobilize you to minimize your risk of DVT, so the risk of a blood clot forming from that just laying still, being sedentary, and the medication that the anaesthetist has given you. Often a few days later, sometimes in the public system it's within 48 hours or up to a week in the private system, you might be discharged home. And often as the newborn mother to this new infant, where all of your energy and focus is going into the needs of this baby, so whether that's breastfeeding or looking after their growth, you know, making sure that they're putting on weight, making sure that they're sleeping, feeding, all of your attention is diverted to the baby rather than yourself. So as a mother, often we lack this ability to prioritize looking after ourselves in that early postpartum period. So often it is 6 weeks that you'll go to the GP and the GP will say, yep, everything's all good. You're told not to do anything for 6 weeks, and then from 6 weeks onwards to start doing whatever you like. And I often compare this to AFL players. And if you imagine an athlete who's gone in for ACL surgery, same hospital, they've gone in for surgery, and then they've been seen on the ward by the physio. They've gotten specific exercises that they're told to do regularly. They know exactly what stage of the recovery they're in. They've got strengthening exercises to strengthen the tissues that are most affected. They're seeing the physio for regular massage, and they have a step-by-step guide all the way through to return to sport, which usually occurs after an ACL surgery, anywhere from around 3 months post-surgery. So this is the model we need to adopt for postpartum women. We need to be educating them on how they can support themselves in that first 12 weeks in order to safely return to either sport or just doing the activities that they used to enjoy, particularly those second and third time moms or more that have other young kids and are still required to lift them, to carry them, to settle them. So it is almost impossible for these women to just completely drop everything and rest and not lift anything in those first 6 weeks because they've got to look after the demands of their toddlers. So once the scar starts to form, usually the bandage that might be over that will come off around 2 weeks or maybe at the GP appointment at 1 week. And over time, that connective tissue will start to lay down and what's called scar tissue will start to form. So where the stitches are, they'll often fall out or dissolve and then the scar tissue will form. And around 3 to 4 weeks, it might start to look like it's healing. And often it's around 6 weeks that we're told, okay, you can get back to doing whatever you like now, with really no priority at understanding, okay, what's actually happened? What has occurred to this cesarean? Do we need to appropriately look at the muscles that have been affected? Because even though those muscles are often pulled apart, that tendinous sheath, which is the insertion of a lot of these muscles, is cut through and it's still affected, it's still stretched, it's still significantly impacted. So in order to rehabilitate those muscles, we need to do specific exercises, just like that ACL athlete has been given specific exercises by the physio to rehab the muscles that are affected around the knee. The postpartum cesarean woman needs to understand that they've undergone major abdominal surgery and that the muscles and connective tissue, like that fascia that we talked about, has been cut through or significantly affected. So starting some exercises in order to mobilize that connective tissue. When they make the incision, so if we think about the skin and that subcutaneous fat plus the fascial layer that is, it's directly cut through, when they stitch that back together, they have to slightly overlap it. And then when the scar tissue starts to form, it forms quite disorganized and it forms tighter. So often after cesarean, women will report that when they get back to, say, stretching or yoga, it will feel really tight around that scar. And sometimes that can be a source of pain when they do get back to doing abdominal exercises in, say, the gym or yoga. Understanding that that scar tissue forms quite thick, and then that because nerve endings have also been cut through, there can be numbness around the scar and there can be areas that are quite sensitive because of the pain physiology, because this incision has been made through the nerve endings. It can be a heightened pain response as those nerve endings repair. So often if a woman's scar is really sensitive, and I find that quite often in those early days, just once the bandage has been taken off, that it can be quite sensitive, that it can be really helpful if they start to resensitize that scar. And that helps with the numbness, it helps the sensation to come back. So that might be simply using something really gentle, like a makeup brush, for example, and just running that over the scar to resensitize the tissue so that they get used to the sensation. And that often occurs. Often cesarean mums will say that when they start to wear clothing, it starts to, give that sensation back. So just the act of the clothing brushing over the scar will help to resensitize it. But then we have to remember that it's not just that superficial layer that's been cut through. It's not just the skin. Often, because all we can see is that external scar, the skin layer that's been affected. But we've got to remember that it's gone through more than 6 layers of tissue and that the scar is forming underneath each of these layers. And as I said, it's forming quite disorganized at first, which if you imagine the muscular connection that have been stretched and that fascia that has been cut through, when that's forming and it's quite disorganized, if we then try and do an abdominal activation, the muscle normally, the junctions would slide over each other. So the muscle cells, in order to contract, they slide nicely over each other. But if the scar tissue is quite disorganized, that's not necessarily happening. Then we lose that ability to properly recruit the abdominal wall. So we often lose a lot of strength, and that is because of that scar tissue is so disorganized and thickened that it's impacting the ability for the muscle to contract properly. So when we do scar tissue massage, It helps to promote the healing of that scar tissue in that vertical direction where it needs to be, and in that horizontal direction, depending on the line of fascia or the line of the muscle tissue underneath it. It helps to reorganize that when we do different directions of massage. So when teaching clients to do their abdominal scar massage, often I'll recommend waiting at least until 4 to 6 weeks until the scar looks like it's completely healed. So there's definitely no exposed blood or infection. And then using some sort of natural cream. So I highly recommend the Olive and Bee. It's actually designed by a women's health physio, and it's just beeswax and olive oil, and it's really good quality, and you can use it along the scar. But otherwise something like, you know, bio oil or coconut oil, but something that's good quality along the scar that's going to help promote healing of that skin layer and to reduce the actual scar that is left there on the skin. So using a little bit of that, and as new mums, you're going to be very time poor, so often I'll just suggest leaving this in the shower or just next to their toothbrush, and when they hop out of the shower, popping a little bit on the fingers and just starting at one side of the scar. And it doesn't have to be complicated. I think any massage is better than no massage. You don't have to overcomplicate it. I actually saw a client yesterday and she said she hadn't been doing it because I told her that she had to lay down to do it. And often, you know, she was in the bathroom, so she didn't have the ability to go to her bed and lay down and then do it. And that is because when we're sitting up, there's a little bit of activation through those abdominals. So you don't have as good ability to really relax those abdominals and get in as deep to the scar. But then I had to remind her that doing some massage is better than doing no massage at all. So even if she's sitting up, that's going to be better than not doing it. So even if it is in that early postpartum period, the only time that you've got is when you're in the shower or when bub's gone down for a nap, just popping a little bit of good quality oil on your fingers and then massaging it through the scar. This could be to start with, if it is really sensitive, it might just be running the fingers along the area. As I said, even using like a makeup brush just to get used to the sensation, because for some women, the scar can be really, really sensitive. But then once it starts to feel a little bit better, you can start to get in a little bit deeper, and you might start with little clockwise and anti-clockwise circles along the scar line. You might simply stretch the scar, so above and below, just to stretch out that tissue. And then eventually we're aiming to get into those deeper layers. So we're aiming to really get in quite deep to the scar, like quite significant massage, really applying pressure. And that's where, if you're laying down, it's much easier to get into those deeper layers because the top layer of muscle and fascia is more relaxed, because you're not using those muscles posturally to stay upright. But really getting in and working around that scar, and even working into those psoas muscles, which are our hip flexor muscles. Which the fascia comes into the cesarean scar and joins to the pelvic floor. So really those deep layers of the pelvic muscles and that front wall. We've got to not underestimate the fact that this fascial layer and this connective tissue and even the muscles that have been pulled apart have been affected. And so I think so often women just look at the scar and think, oh, it's just like, you just think, oh, it's just the external layer. And they're more concerned about that appearance of the skin, that aesthetic appearance, but the actual thickening of the scar and what causes the dreaded C-section pouch, which is that overhang of tissue above the scar, is so often because the scar is so tight that it's creating that shelf, essentially. It's creating that tightness through the fascia. But we have to think about the layers underneath this, the blue layer, the fascia, the red layer, the muscle. All of these layers that have been affected, we have to consider how they're healing as well. And that is what scar tissue massage aims to achieve. It gets into those deeper layers through the myofascial release, and it helps that tissue to reorder in a more organized fashion. So it helps to improve the direction that the scar tissue is laying down. It helps to improve blood flow. So massage, we know massage anywhere else in the body helps to increase blood supply, which is beneficial for healing. It's going to promote more collagen in the area, more scar tissue to lay down. And then it helps to improve that muscular recruitment. As I said before, we want the muscles to contract the way that they're designed to contract, not around the scar in this disorganized way. And often I'll do some strength testing. I might get women to hold their legs in a tabletop position and try and resist my pressure, and then we'll do some scar massage and we'll retest that. And so often, just after a little bit of gentle scar massage, they'll have a lot more strength through that abdominal wall. And it is because the muscles are able to recruit much more easily with more blood supply and also with a more organized layer of connective tissue. It also minimizes the risk of adhesion. So I have seen so many women 2-3 years down the track, sometimes 6 years down the track, who have come to me and they've said that they're experiencing significant, sometimes urinary symptoms. Sometimes it's they're getting pain or menstrual pain. Sometimes it's just pain with exercise or still like this ongoing ache through the scar. And it's because these small adhesions have formed, which is just an area of scar tissue that's really thickened and it's become like an adhesion. And that's formed around, so when we work through that bottom layer at the peritoneum, there's the uterus and underneath. So if we look at that yellow layer and if we think about that as the bladder and the green is the uterus. So the uterus sits just above, so they often move the bladder down and out of the way, but then that will retract. And if there's scar tissue forming around there, it can start to form around the bladder, and that can irritate the bladder and cause some, you know, irritation with urinary leakage and also menstrual pains. So every time that uterine layer sheds during menstruation, during a bleed, can cause pain. So really important that we prioritize scar tissue massage and understand this holistic approach. So I highly recommend that you start cesarean scar massage. I am about to launch my course, Restore Your Core After Cesarean Birth, where I go through in depth how to work on all of these layers of fascia and the core in order to appropriately rehabilitate the body after major abdominal surgery, and not just to dismiss it as, you'll be right, it'll be fine, to recognize the significant impact of, first of all, pregnancy on the pelvic floor and the abdominal wall, and then also this major surgery that the woman has undergone to birth her baby, and making sure that she has the support to adequately rehabilitate her physical body, to process emotion and to recognize the woman as a whole, and not just direct all of our attention and focus to the baby's medical well-being and whether the baby is breastfeeding or sleeping, but actually thinking about, well, how is this woman recovering? And if running or going to the gym or dancing or whatever her hobby was that was often such a important aspect of her mental and emotional well-being, if she can't do that early on, and if she struggles to return to that because of lack of support in rebuilding that abdominal layer and that strength through the abdominal cavity, she struggles with that, and that's going to impact her mental and emotional well-being as well going into motherhood. So you can see how important it is that we make sure that women are getting this education. I noticed there was hypnotherapy. If you guys are either birth workers or even women, if you have friends that have had a cesarean birth, or if you've had a cesarean birth yourself, to make sure that you seek the right support. You can book in to see me online. I do telehealth consultations, and I also do face-to-face consultations on the Sunshine Coast. But make sure that you get that adequate education, that you start your scar massage if your scar looks like it's healed and there's no signs of infection, and that you really get in there and make sure that you're doing that consistently. So I usually recommend that women do it almost every day, but just make it part of your routine. Like if you're someone who puts face cream on, at the same time that you're putting that face cream on, put a little bit of oil on your fingers. And these Olive & Bee little samples are just great because they're so small and they can just go, you know, right next to your toothbrush. Put a little bit on your fingers and then really work into that scar layer. And that could be as simple as just getting in there and working the fingers up and down, little circles, semicircles, reverse the direction. It could be moving up and down. And then eventually what we're working towards is being able to sort of pick up that layer of tissue. And this can be really sensitive early on, but later down the track, and work through that deeper layer. So if you imagine here, we're kind of trying to move those superficial layers out of the way, and really feel like we're, if you can see my fingers, working through that deep muscular layer of tissue to ensure that, as I said, we get that adequate blood supply, that new tissue forms in an ordered fashion so that we get better muscular recruitment, so that we ensure there's no adhesions that could cause pain later on. And as a birth doula, I really recognize that when we think about VBAC and women that want to have a VBAC and the risk of uterine rupture, if we think about a scar, so I think about this with perineal scars as well. If there's perineal stitches, okay, and some women I've seen whose perineal scars like just don't move at all. It's just so tight. And then when they return to intercourse, they get a lot of pain because the scar's not stretching properly. So we do the same thing. We do perineal scar massage. But if we think about the cesarean scar, if it's really tight and there's all these thick adhesions, it's like a tight muscle. Think about a muscle. You know, we know in athletes that muscles are much, much higher risk of tearing. And this is in, you know, an older population as well. You're much more likely, older athletes are so much more likely to get tears in muscles, like muscular tears and strains, than a young, flexible athlete or someone who has that, someone who does, say, yoga or has that ability to stretch and move their muscles, they're much less likely to get a tear. Or even if we think about athletes and ankle sprains, if they've had recurrent ankle sprains and there's scar tissue there, if they've had surgery, it's much more likely that that's going to tear. And if we apply that understanding to a VBAC woman who's aware of cesarean uterine scar rupture, if the scar is really tight and thickened, it would make sense that her risk of rupture would be slightly higher, and it's still a very low risk, it's important to understand that, but might be slightly higher if she hasn't properly rehabilitated that scar so that it moves really well, so that it stretches really well with her next pregnancy. And in labor, when those muscles are contracting, the uterine muscles, so that they're functioning properly and that they're not at risk of slight tear where the scar is. So let's not undervalue the importance of this work, either as birth workers or in your own body as an individual. So I think there's still a couple of you on there listening. If you do have any questions, let me know. Otherwise, feel free to reach out with a DM or book in for a consultation if you yourself have just recently or even in the past, years ago, had a cesarean. It's never too late to start this work. Sometimes I'll see women 3 or 4 years postpartum, like those women I was speaking about that are experiencing pain. And once we start to do that scar massage, the pain goes away really quickly. I had a woman who was in pain around her scar for like 4 years, and then it only took a couple of sessions to actually properly release that scar tissue, and her pain was gone. So make sure that we're teaching this information to women, that you're telling your friends, because I don't want women to be experiencing pain. I want to minimize the risk of dysfunction later down the track when they get back into exercise. I want the abdominal wall to be recruiting properly, and hopefully minimize any risk of potential uterine rupture if they choose to try for a VBAC. All right, guys, I'll leave it there and I will talk to you guys again soon.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe and share this with other pregnant women or other women that you think deserve to understand this information. It is my mission to share this knowledge with women because this is something that I believe that we should all be taught.